Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. What's the absolute best thing we could give to God? Dr. Harold Ristow says it's our garbage.
On Good Friday, Jesus, in a sense, became the dumpster of your sins. So for goodness sake, let him have them. That hurt, that shame, that guilt, whether caused by you or done to you.
And Dr. Dale Meyer stresses the importance of reaching out while gathering together.
Urgency should be a characteristic of our life. Not a panicked urgency, but a desire to get out there because Jesus is going to be coming very soon.
That's today on The Lutheran Hour. This is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making this program part of your day, and thank you for your faithful support. Your gifts and prayers help The Lutheran Hour bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Learn more at LutheranHour.org. Now, Dr. Harold Ristow joins us via Zoom call from St. Catharines, Ontario.
Greetings to you all from your brothers and sisters from the North in Canada, and hello to all you fellow Canadian listeners. It's an honor to be invited to share the Word of God with you all today, and especially the Gospel of Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. Harold Ristow, and I'm Associate Professor at Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, located just a few minutes north of Niagara Falls, New York. I understand that you're all beginning a study on 1 Samuel with Dr. Ziegler. Well, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, we have one of the most famous portions from that book, the Song of Hannah, in which Hannah praises God for the gracious birth of a prophet and spiritual warrior, Samuel. The reason I say spiritual warrior is that her song is driven by thanksgiving over this Savior's coming as a victorious hero over Israel's enemies. The Song of Hannah proclaims a certain and coming victory. For instance, she sings, "My heart exults in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven." What God does through Samuel is done in a much greater and universal degree hundreds of years later in his anointed one, the Messiah, his only Son, our Lord, Jesus the Christ. This song foreshadows what God would do and still does through Jesus Christ. Centuries after Hannah's song, similar words are sung by the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, when she is told by the angel Gabriel that she has been chosen to give birth to the world's Savior, whose death and resurrection would save us all from our enemies, death, hell, and the devil. It is then especially fitting that 1 Samuel 2 concludes with, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." Now, I served as a military chaplain for the Canadian Armed Forces and was deployed a number of times to the Middle East. When it comes to the battlefield, you need to know who your enemy is and where to find him. That's why terrorism is so effective. The enemy is hidden, up in a tree, under a bridge, even in civilian clothing. When we look at Afghanistan recently, we see the horrific impact of hidden enemies, for you can't beat them until they are revealed. In our case, our enemies aren't flesh and blood, but are spiritual. As St. Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." These spiritual enemies are often hidden from our eyes, though experienced in our lives and the world around us, in sadness, sickness, tragedy, violence, and so forth. Sin is the cause of all evil. Because sin is hidden inside of us, its deception can make us, we ourselves, our worst enemies. And unless we admit that and begin to battle that sin in our own lives, we are in trouble. As the psalmist writes, "Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me," Psalm 59. And God has. Out of immeasurable love, our Almighty God and Father sent forth His Son to redeem us from the forces of darkness, victoriously crushing all our enemies under His feet at the cross. He has reconciled all things to Himself, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. How does He do it? Through the forgiveness of your sins, washing them all away with His holy, precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death. If sin is the problem, Jesus removing them or forgiving them is the answer. I recall once overseas counseling a dismayed army sergeant. Let's call him Andrew. Andrew agonized over feelings of deep personal guilt. He was the only survivor of the team of young men that he led during a gunfight in Iraq many years ago. He blamed himself for the losses. He wouldn't forgive himself. He wouldn't give his sins to Jesus. Finally, I said, "Brother, did you know that you're stealing from God? After all, Jesus paid a high price for your sins. That's right, all your spiritual garbage and emotional and mental baggage belongs to Christ. On Good Friday, Jesus, in a sense, became the dumpster of your sins. So for goodness sake, let Him have them." Andrew looked at me in shock and horror. Then after a moment's reflection, he nodded his head affirmatively and then began to weep. With tears in his eyes, he said, "Chaplain, you've made a good point." He knew that his burdens had to go somewhere, but he couldn't fathom anybody else wanting them. We talked some more, then we prayed together. His eyes brightened. He smiled. His conscience was cleansed. "And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed," Jesus says. Andrew rejoiced in God's grace. Boy, do we have a hard time letting go of our garbage, giving the Lord our sins. Yet Jesus wants them. Yet do we ever resist? Since we often have lots of conditions. Sometimes the sins which we embrace are evils others have done to us. They cling to us like leeches. Yet we hang on to them too, not letting go unless our offender asks for forgiveness. I have news for you. It often doesn't happen. And once again, you are often your worst enemy, since it's not your offender who suffers, but you are the worse off. Other times we punish ourselves for the mistakes and sins we have committed. We don't think that we are worthy of forgiveness, yet that's what true forgiveness and grace is, undeserved. Give it all to Jesus. That hurt, that shame, that guilt, whether caused by you or done to you. One of the greatest things you can give to God is your sins. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken and contrite heart He will not despise. Psalm 51:17. Isn't that strange? Imagine being invited to the president's house for supper, and what do you bring him? A piece of stinking garbage? Yet that's what our king asks for. That's what he came for. Our loving Lord wants nothing more than to free us from our worst enemies, to take away all that spiritual garbage that keeps us from having peace, blocks us out of heaven, prevents a relationship with Him, and sabotages our relationship with others. He came to take all your spiritual filth and brokenness away because He loves you. For if it goes to Him, it's no longer on you. Yet the devil doesn't want you to give it to Jesus, because he doesn't want you to be set free. That way, this enemy can maintain a foothold in your life. Another enemy, the world, tempts you to buy into all the creative ways it has invented to handle life's problems itself, yet without success. For only Christ can rescue us from the ash heap of our sins, darkness, death, and the attacks of evil upon us, body and soul. God took on human flesh, came from heaven to earth, to raise you from earth to heaven, to quote Samuel 2:8. He raises up the poor from the dust, he lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. Actually, the NASB translates ash heap as garbage heap. He lifts us all the way to heaven from the garbage heap of our sin. That is why Jesus was lifted high upon the altar of the cross, at the hill of the skull, just outside of Jerusalem, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Lift up your hearts to the altar of the crucified one. Now, I know American Thanksgiving is still a long ways away. Canada's Thanksgiving is considerably earlier, on October 11th, in fact. And the classic Thanksgiving text is the story of the 10 lepers found in Luke chapter 10. It's where 10 lepers cry out to Jesus for mercy and healing, praying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus heals them all. Being a leper was one of the worst things in the world back then. No doctor could heal the lepers. There was no cure for them. Leprosy was one of the worst diseases of that time. Outcasts of society, they lived in graveyards and caves, some wearing bells to warn visitors to stay away. Imagine the emotional pain they suffered, the loneliness and isolation. Yet believe it or not, those lepers were better off than we are in a way, for they knew who they were. They knew what they were, sick sinners, and they also knew they needed help. They knew only God could save them. They weren't afraid to say it and confess it. They go to Jesus, who always welcomes sinners and makes an ugly situation beautiful by his word and presence. We have a harder time relating, realizing that we are just as desperate, believing that we're equally as sick inside as were those lepers. Especially when we're physically healthy and we enjoy stable lives from a worldly point of view. Yet when we honestly assess our lives, we can't deny our spiritual illness. We may not look sick, but deep inside, we have our own monstrous infections. Whether caused by ourselves or others, we have wounds, open, bleeding wounds deep inside that hurt. Like the leper, you may have been unrightfully hurt. You may have been disappointed by a parent or felt let down by someone in a big way. Someone you trusted may have told you that you are good for nothing, and though you want to ignore that wound, you can't. Or maybe it was a bad marriage or relationship. Someone took your love and tossed it away like it was nothing. Or a child that you love so dearly has turned away from you with no interest to reconcile. Or maybe you have wronged someone and are haunted by the memory. You may think you can never be relieved from that thing, that pain or guilt. No one can heal that spot, not even the best doctor or closest friend. It's just too deep. Like those lepers, cry out to the Lord. He'll hear you and heal you. Then, like Hannah, rejoice in his unfailing love and victory. Don't let shame stop you. There's nothing too messy for God to clean up. He's seen it all before. He won't ignore you. He won't deny you. Cry out to him and don't be afraid, for he is the greatest, most caring doctor ever. The bright side of the pandemic is that people today are increasingly recognizing that there is more to life than just body and material things. With mental health issues hitting an all-time high and suicide on the rise, spirituality is taking on a new appeal. Though still rejecting organized religion, most people identify themselves as spiritual. Unfortunately and ironically, they look to medicine, science, and psychology for help. Yet our personal and societal issues can't simply be solved by pharmaceuticals, doctors, and government policies. They involve matters of the soul. It is vanity and foolishness to look inside of ourselves for help. If what's inside is the problem, looking inside won't help at all. We need to look outside of ourselves, turning towards Christ and his cross. As individuals and as a society, we need to repent of our sins and our unswerving trust in human-made solutions to spiritual problems. Repent means to turn towards Jesus, who has the cure for our spiritual illness. For there is no replacement for the unique healing that Jesus brings to us through his word, and specifically as you find it delivered to you in his church, through faithful pastors, through the holy means of baptism and communion. Christ and him crucified is our antidote. He is the medicine of immortality. Jesus is the one who offers ongoing aid. He addresses the deepest issues. God, who became flesh, the greatest of physicians, who dwelt and dwells among us. Now, my friend Andrew's battle wasn't over the moment he heard that God loved him and forgave him all of his sin, cleansing him of all of his guilt. The spiritual garbage from which he had been freed found a way to creep back into his heart. He needed to keep bringing it to our loving Lord. So, too, we need to keep giving our garbage to our very kind, compassionate, and patient Jesus. And we do just this as we come to him on bended knee in repentance, confession, prayer, and humility. When we keep coming to him, his word, his pastors, his church, his font, his table, he raises us from our garbage heap with peace and sends us away with joy. What I especially love about Hannah's song is the fact that it's rejoicing about a future victory at a time when all was far from perfect. Look at Israel's history of corruption and false teaching, murder, etc. Yet in the midst of that mess, there is the sure promise that God is also there, intimately present and in control. Andrew's guilt returned a few weeks later, as it often does when we doubt that we have been forgiven. Like Peter walking on water, the moment he doubts his Savior and turns his eyes from Jesus and back onto himself, he begins to sink into the sea of despair. The devil keeps poking at us by bringing up old sins, though we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The devil has lots of clever ways of getting us to doubt that our sins are forgiven. Andrew needed a reminder from time to time. He would call me up occasionally and say, "Chaplain, can you tell me again that God wants my trash and hasn't abandoned me on the hill of my garbage?" Forgiveness is not just about a one-time utterance of a magic word that suddenly makes everything perfect. Like Andrew, you may find that you are assaulted with old sins, even forgiven ones, lacking faith that God is as good as he says he is. But even that is a blessing in disguise, since God works all things for good for those who love him, even their own sins. Those moments of doubt can draw us back to Jesus Christ and his holy word and gracious promises. So sometimes we are too troubled by our sinful condition, but other times not troubled enough. We behave as if we've been cleansed and now all is good to go, as if we're no longer sinners. Yet though we have been washed, we need to be washed again and again until we breathe our final breath and God's angels take us to heaven, where we will experience the victory over all our enemies achieved by our crucified, resurrected, and triumphant Lord. In this life, we are saved from our enemies, but still soldiering onwards towards heaven, surrounded by old enemies and new ones who tempt us to believe that God isn't in control. And that makes prioritizing our spiritual health more important than anything else in life. In other words, keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, your Savior, since he deems nothing more important than keeping his eyes fixed upon you. After all, God is more eager to give than we are to ask, turning none away, waiting eagerly for us spiritual lepers to constantly reach out to him in prayer and to receive his help through his word of forgiveness. For he has cast all your sins as far as the east is from the west, meaning your enemies no longer have any power over you. They can no longer harass you. They can no longer haunt you. For our crucified and risen Jesus is victorious over them all. Amen. And let us pray. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your salvation. Deliver us from all of our enemies, especially the sins that assault and haunt us, and help us to lay all our burdens into the outstretched hands of our Savior Jesus Christ, who welcomes sinners, offering us forgiveness, life, and healing. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and that was guest speaker Dr. Harold Ristau, associate professor at Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario. For free online resources, archived audio, our mobile app, and more, go to lutheranhour.org. Joining us now, Lutheran Hour speaker Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you to Pastor Ristow for the message from God's Word. I'm visiting with Dr. Dale Meyer, Lutheran Hour Speaker Emeritus. Thanks for being with us, Dale.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Mike.
Dale, you've been recording a series of video Bible studies with Lutheran Hour Ministries, and they're based on 1 Peter, right?
Yes, they are print and video.
Okay, and what's your theme? What's your angle?
The angle is I have a used car and I want you to buy it. The theme is life together. And the reason for that is that more than ever before in most of our lifetimes, Christians need to band together to encourage one another and to learn how to go out into this community and nation and world in which we live. Followers of Jesus need to get together at home, at church, on the Lutheran Hour, and learn what God's love for us is all about and how we take that love into the community. As Christians who are going into a public culture that often discriminates against our faith.
We can't give what we don't have. And so that's why we need to get together, because we're inviting people into a community, not just into some abstract truths about God.
And it's not just inviting other people in. You and I need it ourselves. I need a place where I can be affirmed and encouraged that God loves me, that He cares for me, and that there is a way for me to go into this impersonal society and carry the love of Jesus to others. So the gathering of God's people, the followers of Jesus in congregations and through ministries like the Lutheran Hour Ministries, it's important for us who believe, not just for getting other people to join right. us in this happy throng, as the hymn says.
Now, Dr. Meyer, you're also writing an academic commentary on 1 Peter, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what has that been doing for you personally, preparing and writing in that way?
The research and the writing is enjoyable. Maybe the research is more enjoyable. The writing is a real discipline.
Yeah.
But the biggest takeaway that I've had from working on the 1 Peter commentary is how we have blinders on when we read the books of the Bible. And I'll give you an example. In Western culture, we believe in individualism. That's the way we're born and bred, individualism. But when the Bible uses the word you, Y-O-U, it is usually plural. That's a subtle way by which the devil just perverts a little bit the message of Christ. I give another example of these blinders that we often have on when we do Bible study, and that's the word Bible. In the first century AD, the time when 1 Peter and the other New Testament books were written, there was no Bible as we know it. And most people in the Roman Empire could not read. They got the word of God, the gospel of Jesus, through their ears and through speaking. In Latin, it's called the Viva Vox Evangelii, the living voice of the gospel. So when we impose our cultural understandings upon the Bible, we're missing a lot of its power.
I remember a quote from Martin Luther. He says that the church, that congregation that gets together, is not a penthouse, but a mouth house, a talking house.
Exactly right, a mouth house to talk the word of God.
What would you like to see this Bible study series that you're preparing with Lutheran Hour Ministries do for others?
I hope and pray that it'll give each participant a greater zeal for the life of the local congregation. Life together in our congregation and with other believers is more important than ever. It used to be said that you come to church to hear the word of God. Well, true. But now with all these amazing technological devices, we can hear the word of God in our pajamas at home. So what is it about the congregation that is so important? It's the flesh and blood gathering of people who are staking their life on the faith that comes to us in our Lord Jesus. It's a great time to be a congregation. It's a great time to be the church. But we have to band together, get together, to be nurtured, encouraged in this common faith, and then learn how to take it out into a community which has largely no clue about what Jesus is here for. And I'd add that there's an urgency to our gathering as congregations. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the entire world, and then the end will come. Because of technology, this gospel of the kingdom has circled the globe. There's not much time left, and so we need to gather with one another to be encouraged and to go out into the community where we live. Gather with one another because the end is very close.
Yeah, like so the author to the Hebrews says, don't stop gathering together, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Sometimes I think that we've lost a sense of urgency in many congregations. And coming out of COVID and knowing that the end is very near, yeah, urgency is very important. Urgency should be a characteristic of our life, not a panicked urgency, but a desire to get out there because Jesus is going to be coming very soon.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Meyer.
Next week, Dr. Ziegler continues our study of the books of Samuel with a message titled Dead Man Walking, and here's part of what you'll hear.
I'm grateful for the books of Samuel because they train me to come to terms with the truth that I also am a dead man walking because of my sin. And I'm grateful for the books of Samuel because they train me to fix my eyes on Jesus.
Dr. Michael Ziegler, next week. Now Dr. Ristow leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.